World Council of Churches that
yes.
has represented the mainline Protestant denominations now for many years. And the last couple of years, they have held a major meeting in Rome. And there is a coming together now between the major Protestant denominations and Roman Catholicism. And I believe the next step, and it's already happening, is the promotion of interfaithism. So there's this false unity of so-called Christendom taking place. And now that element is prepared to merge together with the other religions as well. And it should not come as a surprise that the current Pope, Benedict, is promoting this agenda just like John Paul II did.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a little known point of interest here is that the current Pope actually was a mentor to the previous Pope on matters concerning dogma. And that's why there hasn't been a lot of change between the two popes. They're very much similar in their religious outlook. It's just that the previous pope had more charisma and personality. And personally, I believe there are those elements in the hierarchy at the Vatican that would like to see the current pope leave just so they can get somebody younger and more vibrant in there to carry on the agenda. But as far as the agenda is concerned, we're not going to see a big change. It's going to continue to move toward interfaithism, bringing the world's religions together, a strong focus on Jerusalem and internationalizing that city, and bringing the world's religions together there. I believe ultimately...
Well, that's happening as we speak.
It is. And I believe ultimately the goal is to make Jerusalem the religious interfaith capital of the world, and to have either UN troops or international troops of some type, maybe from an empowered European Union, stationed there, enforcing Jerusalem as an international city, no longer under the direct control of Israel as a sovereign city.
Well, the Vatican declared its desire and intention to, you could say, almost rule and reign from Jerusalem.
Yes, you know, it's just a matter of time. Things
yeah.
are clearly moving in that direction. And every day you look at the headlines, and the point of most friction in the world, it's always the Middle East, you know, between Israel and Syria or Iran and Israel. Something's got to give there.
And all of this now is coming to a head. Barack Obama has decreed that there will be peace, and if it has not been accomplished by this fall, that he will impose that peace, and he already has his peace agenda in place. And the so-called quartet of nations, the EU, the UN, Russia, and the US are behind him in accomplishing that. So all of these pieces now are culminating. They're coming to a head, just as you said. And here's a quote from a year ago on the Sunday Times, the London Times. It says, historians will look back and say this was no ordinary time, but a defining moment, an unprecedented period of global change, and a time when one chapter ended and another chapter began. The scale and the speed of this global crisis has at times been almost overwhelming. In countries everywhere, people have been feeling powerless and afraid, and now is the time for leaders of every country in the world to work together. There it is. That's the statement. And I have in front of me a Constitution for the Federation of Earth that was put together back in 1991. And friends, the foundations have all been laid. Gary, you have a website. Could you share that with us?
Yeah, we have a number of revealing articles on this subject on our website that people can read for themselves. And it's at garycaw.org. And that's GaryKah.org. And so I hope people will take the time and check that out.
Right. You're doing a great job. Appreciate it. And again, his DVD, The Coming Globalization, Obama, the Middle East, Interfaithism, and the Vatican. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Just give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can get it on our website, saveus.org. Also, his book, The New World Religion. Again, your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. So you can get it on our website, saveus.org. Speaking of deception, you all are aware of my book that came out a year ago, Seduction of the Saints, that synthesizes many of these things in a series of chapters called The Isms of Our Time, and then moving into how this globalization is coming together in its final expression. So, again, thank you to Gary for joining us here on the program, and I want to urge you to become a partner with us, because day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Day after day. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us. This is important, friends. This is ultimate business. This is ultimate business, to proclaim the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Remember, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole earth, and then shall the end come. Be part of that. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. In the middle of it all, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thanks for joining us. God bless you, and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crossmeyer. Viewpoint is supported.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our special guest. And his name is Wesley Swearingen, and we're going to be talking about his book, To Kill a President. Finally, an ex-FBI agent rips aside the veil of secrecy that killed JFK. Wesley, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Well, why don't you just give our listeners just a little bit about your background. With the Federal Bureau of Investigation, when did you join? When did you become aware of the fact that there was a conspiracy to kill JFK? Because, of course, you knew about the conspiracy long before it occurred. You tried to report it, and of course, you were ridiculed for suggesting exactly what happened. But go ahead, tell the story.
Yes, I joined the FBI in 1951, and I was working in Chicago in 1962 when an anti-Castro Cuban told me that there was a conspiracy or a plot to kill the president. And I found it very difficult to believe.
But of course, this fellow, you call him in the book Roman, he had actually told you previous to that, the Bay of Pigs invasion, that the CIA was training anti-Castro Cubans to go into Cuba. He told you exactly what was going to happen to the Bay of Pigs, and you really thought that was ridiculous. And yet, when that happened, why you had to really put some credence in what he was telling you about the CIA mafia Cuban plot to kill the president of the United States.
Yes, as I was about to say, He did tell me about the plan for the Bay of Pigs, and I was working Cuban counterintelligence at the time, and I pulled out a map, and I said, where's the Bay of Pigs? And he showed me, and I said, that's ridiculous. Nobody could invade there and take over Cuba and defeat Castro. And he told me that the CIA was behind it, and they had airplanes and money and boats and all sorts of military army. And I thought he was nuts, so I told him to just go away and never talk to me again. And then the Bay of Pigs occurred. And then about a year after that, he got in touch with me again, and I decided that since he was correct about the Bay of Pigs, that this time I had better listen to what he had to say. And then he started telling me about the plot to kill President Kennedy, and I thought again that he was crazy, but since I was wrong in the Bay of Pigs, I decided to listen to him.
And you actually filed a report on that, didn't you, basically including what it said?
Yes. I attempted to discuss it with my supervisors and fellow agents in the office who were working the mafia. And I was ridiculed for believing that the CIA would have such a plot.
And, of course, it wasn't just the CIA. It involved the mafia as well. And, of course, you knew something about the mafia because that you'd been actually there in Chicago. But you'd been primarily studying the communists rather than the mafia, hadn't you?
Yes, I had been working with the Communist Party for approximately 6 years, 7 years. And
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, go right ahead, Wesley. You had said you were working the Communist Party for 6 or 7 years. You'd actually been involved in tracking the communists in Chicago. You'd actually been involved with black jobs, in other words, illegal legal wiretaps, illegal searches of the homes. And, of course, you were very concerned about the legality of this because usually you didn't even have a warrant when you broke into people's homes, and yet you were ordered to do that. Is that correct?
Yes. As it turned out, the only authority we had came from J. Edgar Hoover. Normally, when the FBI does a wiretap, they get a court order for it. And in the case of a search, they get a search warrant. But we didn't have those, and I assumed that there was some higher authority other than Hoover all the time that I was doing it. And then a few years later, I discovered that we didn't have any higher authority, and that if we were caught doing it, that we would most likely be fired, and that would have been the end of our careers. So I began to question the legality of it, and then after the Supreme Court decided that the act for the Communist Party that was illegal, then Hoover decided to go after the black organization, religious organization in Chicago, and that's when I thought that we were going beyond our legal means, because then I realized then that we did not have the proper authority.
I'm going to ask you to hang up and have my secretary call you back again. We seem to have static on the line. I want our listeners to be able to hear what you're saying. So if you'd hang up, we'll call you right back, okay?
Okay.
All right, fine. And so I'll ask certainly Ari to go ahead and call back again. I think it's important that basically, of course, Wesley has written another book called FBI Secrets, which we've read, and then, of course, this latest one, How to Kill or to Kill a President. And basically, of course, he goes into the fact that the FBI has been involved in illegal acts for many years, has been intentionally violating the Constitution. And it's tragic, but he points out that the FBI has actually sent innocent men to prison, has actually framed innocent men. Fascinating information. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, our producer to pass Wesley over. He has to push a button here so I can get him on the line here. But Wesley, of course, was with the FBI for many years. He eventually did retire from them, and Herman, pardon me, Ari, would you mind just passing our guest over so we can talk to him? But he is actually talks in his book about the FBI being involved in criminal activity, sending four innocent men. They knew they were innocent. They sent them to prison. And, of course, eventually, because of Wesley's testimony in court, one of these men were eventually freed, and basically they actually got a $110 million settlement. The government had to pay $110 million for sending innocent men to prison. There was another gentleman. His name was Pratt, and he was part of the Black Panthers. And they framed him. They sent him to prison for murder, which he did not commit. And they knew he didn't commit it. And they had withheld information from the prosecuting attorney and from the defense that would have shown that the man could not possibly have done that. Mr. Pratt, certainly a member of the Black Panthers, and I'm going to ask Cindy Ari to go ahead and call our Mr. Swearingen back again. Mr. Swearingen, we weren't able to pick him up. So he's going to call in. Okay, fine. So we'll get a better, hopefully we'll have a better line here in just a moment. Under many circumstances, he talks about a lot of the FBI crimes. There was a case back in Boston where the FBI agent was working with a man named Whitey Bulger. Whitey Bulger, while under FBI protection, killed and tortured to death over 20 people. And they actually knowingly sent an innocent man to prison to cover up for the fact that Whitey Bulger had killed an FBI agent. And, of course, fortunately, the FBI agent was eventually tried and convicted and sent to prison. But in many respects, he was just simply carrying out orders. And he thought what he was doing was perfectly all right. He was told to cultivate this mafia agent. And FBI has all sorts of agents within the mafia all across America. Now, one of the interesting things, of course, that Mr. Swearingen brings out is the fact that J. Edgar Hoover has a wonderful, wonderful reputation with most Americans. An awful lot of people really look upon him as a man who defended us against communism. Basically, he defended this against communism because he wanted to give the impression that they were really, of course, very, very important. We needed the FBI to protect us from the wicked communists. But he refused steadfastly up until the late 1950s to prosecute the mafia in America because J. Edgar Hoover was a homosexual. And they had information, the mafia had all sorts of documentation of J. Edgar Hoover's homosexual activities, and for that reason, he did not go after the mafia until he was actually literally forced to in the late 1950s, early 1960. Wesley, you're back on the line.
Yes.
All right, fine. That sounds ever so much better. Why don't you just maybe pick up the story about J. Edgar Hoover, because there's a lot in your book that most Americans do not know. J. Edgar Hoover's always had a good press, and yet, of course, there's a great deal of message between the myth and the man. Why don't you pick up the story there?
Well, J. Edgar Hoover used the FBI laboratory to do his publicity, and that was actually illegal because the FBI laboratory was not permitted to engage in publicity, but that was another one of the things that the FBI did that was illegal. Anyway, Hoover always wanted to publicize things that he did well and mistakes that were made by the FBI he wanted to cover up. And many of the things that were covered up were the illegal searches, what we called black bag jobs. And I realized in the 1970s, when the FBI was lying to the Church Committee, the Senate investigative committee that was investigating the FBI and the CIA, the FBI lied about the illegal searches until it was ridiculous, the number that the FBI admitted to something like 238 nationwide for several years, and that piqued my interest because not only did the FBI lie to the Church Committee, the FBI put an innocent man in prison, which I knew about, but I couldn't stop. And then I heard about conspiracy to kill people in Chicago, and that's when I decided that I should write a book to let people know what was actually going on inside the FBI. And that was when I wrote my first book, FBI Secrets, an Agent's Exposé.
And then, of course, you talk about this one woman who actually exposed the FBI, and they put a bomb in her car. What was the story there?
That was Judy Berry, who was trying to protect the redwood trees in California. She was a member of a organization called Earth First, and there's no proof that anyone had set the bomb, but I have pretty good suspicions that the FBI had someone do it. The agents seldom did things on their own. They usually had what you would call an informant or someone who is facing prison time, and they will agree to help out the FBI to do certain things that the FBI agent would not want to be caught doing, because then he would be fired and prosecuted.
But so, didn't the government eventually have to pay this woman or a good deal of money or family after she?
Yeah, there was a lawsuit, and I had already been retired, and I had written my first book, FBI Secrets, and she got in touch with me, and she showed me some of the files that she had. She got through the Freedom of Information Act, and I said that she should sue the FBI because it looked as though, to me, that the FBI had at least some guilty knowledge here. Well, to make this story very short, she won the case, and she was awarded a little over $4 million, if I remember correctly. And that pretty well established that the FBI was a guilty party.
And then she died shortly thereafter as she got the money?
I think she died just before she received the money, so it went to her heirs and the other person who was in the car with her that night. I don't know how the money was spent.
Well, I think it's one of the things you point out in your book is that the FBI, or at least that the CIA, was working with, in conjunction with the Mafia, and certainly there was a close working relationship between the CIA, our Central Intelligence Agency, and the American Mafia. Is that true?
Yes, it is, and that has been fairly well documented through the release of reports on the JFK assassination. And what this Cuban told me back in 1962 was that the CIA had a training camp in Florida where they were training members of the Chicago Mafia and certain Cubans how to kill someone without it looking like a Mafia hit. And the purpose of this training originally was to go after Fidel Castro. But the man who was telling me all this said that Fidel Castro's people knew who all the anti-Castro individuals were, and so it was almost impossible to
get close enough to Castro to assassinate him. And then since these men were trained and things were not going well, they decided to go after Kennedy because the mafia wanted to get back into Cuba because Castro had kicked them out. And the CIA was upset with Kennedy because he did not support the Bay of Pigs.
And the mafia, I think, was mad at Kennedy because they were the ones who rigged the election there in Chicago, in Illinois, that got him the election. And then Bobby Kennedy went after them. And they'd been promised, you know, we'll help you get elected. You lay off of us. And then Bobby Kennedy went ahead and violated. You don't make a deal with the mafia and then go back on them. And that would have just cost both of them their lives, I believe. Well, anyway, of course, you were actually, of course, had an opportunity of filing something back in 1962, based upon the information you got from Roman, that there was going to be a CIA mafia plot working together to actually kill the American president. But it would appear that there were some people in the FBI who didn't want to hear of that. And we'll be back in just a moment or two, because this is a fascinating story, and then, of course, what Wesley learned later. So basically, you got the information from Roman. What happened when you got it? And was it filed, or was it ever acknowledged?
Well, I did file a report.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income,
and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And if you've studied anything about the FBI, you know he eventually became the sort of the assistant to J. Edgar Hoover. I don't know what he was at that time in 1962. But, of course, we know him today as Deep Throat. He was eventually revealed himself that as the man who gave the information to Bob Woodward about what was happening during the final days. That was the basis of Bob Woodward and Bernstein's book, The Final Days. Well, anyway, Mark Felt was there, who was putting on the course, and suddenly Wesley went to him and said, look, I'm all packed, I'm ready to go, you're sending us home, you're canceling this course, I'd like to go to Dallas, I think I can contribute something. Did you tell him about the information you had about the CIA involvement when you requested permission to go?
Yes. There were 40 of us in the class in Washington, D.C., and that was the last day of the 2 weeks of training, and all our bags were packed. We were ready to go. And when Kennedy was shot, Mark Felt came in and announced that the president had just been shot and that he was dismissing the class early and that we all could go home. And he turned around and walked out the door, and there were two doors to the room, and I went out the back door and I met Mark Felt in the hall. And I said that I had worked in Chicago and I heard something about assassination, that the CIA and the Mafia might be involved, and of course I probably shouldn't have said CIA, because Mark Felt immediately said, well, no, you go back to your headquarters office, Louisville, and back to Paintsville, the resident agency where I was working. And I said, but Mr. Felt, we have 40 agents here, we can change our plane reservations and we can all be in Dallas in 3 or 4 hours and start working. He said, no, I'm sending everybody back to their home office and we'll get agents to go. Well, I know what happens on a special. The Washington headquarters asks different offices to offer up an agent, and then the agent has to do work on the cases that he has, and then he has to pack his bag, and if he's married, he has to go home and say goodbye to his wife, and if he has kids, say goodbye to the kids and get ready for maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks on a special investigation. And that could take 2 or 3 days. The whole point of my wanting to go to Dallas on Friday was that 40 of us could have been there within 3 or 4 hours, however long it would take to catch a plane in Washington and fly to Dallas. And we would be there. Our bags were already packed. We'd already been away from home for 2 weeks. Wouldn't have been any problem to stay away from home for another 2 or 3 weeks. But Mark Felt said, no, I'm sending everybody home. And I could see right away that this is the beginning of a cover-up. Because
it was a cover-up. In fact, J. Edgar Hoover immediately said it was a single shooter, and basically it was known, basically, in the FBI, that you were not to suggest it was a conspiracy. In other words, you were told what to believe, and certainly you bring out in your book very vividly, everybody was in constant fear of J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, nobody would dare to speak out against him. Nobody would dare to come out and say he was gay. Nobody would care to come out and say that he ran this thing totally tyrannically, and he had, you know, he had all sorts of files on people so he could blackmail them, and he knew all of the liaisons of JFK, President Kennedy, and that he was sleeping with the same woman that Sam Giancana of the Mafia was sleeping with, and he had all of this so he could control people, and he was really very much of a tyrant, wasn't he?
Correct, and we got that from the very first day in training school. And in my training class back in 1951, there were two agents that were just dismissed for no good reason. Hoover said that one of them looked like a truck driver, and I don't know what that's supposed to look like, but we were all thin and had our hair neatly cut and combed. And
And you were really, the requirements for an FBI agent is you do what you're told, you do not speak out, and of course if you do, why, there'll be serious consequences. But as Wesley brings out in his book, as he got into this further and further, and he realized, of course, that the CIA was involved, the Cuban, the anti-Castro Cubans were involved, and the Mafia was involved. And, of course, had he very well spoken out on this, he might have ended up like many of the people who were involved, because most of them had very untimely deaths. We'll get back into John Rossellini and Kane and the others who were involved. This is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Wesley Swearingen, and we're talking about his books, his book, FBI Secrets, and his second book, To Kill a President. And, you know, certainly a lot of FBI agents have written books. Did you have any difficulty getting this through the FBI censors? Because you have a lot of very revealing information.
I didn't have any problem this time because I knew from my previous experience trying to write a book, and the FBI having seized my first manuscript, what I can and cannot say, and so I skipped things that were unimportant, like identifying informants. Nobody needs to know who an informant is, and if I try to identify one, I could possibly be prosecuted for that. And so I learned that that's not the whole point of, you know, I'm not trying to expose an informant. I'm trying to expose corruption in the FBI. And there's no way that they can keep me from talking about someone who has violated the law. Now, I'm not permitted to mention the agent's name, and that's okay, too, because I don't need to embarrass the agent or his family or children or whatever. So when I wrote To Kill a President, I knew what the ground rules were, and so I wrote it so that I thought I could get it through the first publication, because I went round and round on my first book and I learned what the process was. So no, I didn't have a problem. I submitted it, and I wrote in my letter that I was not going to go through the long process because one of my first manuscripts they held for over a year, and they're supposed to review it and tell me what they don't want published.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Wesley. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Wesley Swearingen, and we're talking about his book, To Kill a President. And do you have any sort of a website out there? How can people get copies of your book?
The only place that they can obtain copies, as far as I know, is through Amazon.com. It's available on Amazon, and it's also available through the publisher creating space. But it's easier just to go through Amazon.com. They'll see a picture of both of my books, and they'll see one critique if they want to read what one former FBI agent said about my book, which is really very critical, and he has no idea what he was saying because he was in high school when Kennedy was killed, but he's taking the Warren Commission stance that Lee Harvey Oswald is the lone assassin, which is ridiculous, but they can get an idea of what the FBI thinks about my book if they read one. I won't mention his name. They can figure that out on their own.
All right, fine. Well, let's get a little bit about the relationship between the CIA and the mafia, because this really is so hard for the American people to realize that the CIA worked with the mafia. They had a working relationship with them, and certainly the mafia would kill people that the CIA wanted killed. Was that true?
Yes, it was. And what a lot of people don't realize, but if they look back through history, that CIA was assassinating people all over the world. And they did it to help the policies of the United States. If there was someone, some little dictator out there in some little country that wasn't going along with what was best for the United States, then they would hire someone. The CIA agents normally did not do it themselves. They had access to a lot of money, and they could pay somebody $500,000 or $1 million. And with that kind of money in some of these little third world countries, you can find a lot of assassins. So anyway, that was the way they operated. And the CIA discovered that if they were friendly towards the mafia, and it's not their responsibility to put the mafia in jail, it's up to the FBI. So they could do anything they wanted with the mafia and give the mafia money, which the mafia loved, and they would do things. And so the certain members of the mafia in Chicago thought, man, we've got a good friend here. We've got a friend in government who is actually on our side and is going to give us money to do something that we'd like to do anyway, and that is to kill the president. And so I don't know all the inside workings other than what this one Cuban told me, that the CIA had this secret camp down in Florida. And when the Cuban told me, I said, that's illegal. I said, it's illegal for the CIA to operate within the United States boundaries. And he said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but they have a school down there. There's a camp on a university. I don't know the exact name of the university, but it was in Florida, and they did have a camp, and it has been documented with the Freedom of Information Act files that have been released that there was a secret camp and people were being trained down there. And it's true that one of the FBI's top informants was working for the FBI and the CIA, and that this top FBI informant was one of the lecturers and trainers at this secret CIA camp.
Well, Well, let's talk just a little bit about Richard Kane, because he's an individual I'd never heard of before. And yet, of course, he seems to be a key figure. And according to Ramon, he was a man who was on the grassy knoll, along with John Rossellini, along with H. Howard Hunt. And but who is Kane, and why is he important?
Kane is important because he started out as a member of the Chicago Police Department, and he got in trouble and he killed a man, so the police had to fire Kane, but they got rid of him nicely enough so that Kane wasn't in too much trouble. They made it look like it was an accident, and it could have been an accident, but anyway. Then Kane started working for the Cook County Sheriff's Office, but while Kane was working for the police department, he was the bag man for Sam Giancana to pay off top officials in the Chicago Police Department so that they wouldn't investigate certain parts of the mafia operations in Chicago. So anyway, Kane became an FBI informant, and he was so well thought of by Bill Romer, FBI agent, that Richard Kane was made an honorary FBI agent, if you can believe that. And I would not have believed it, but Bill Romer puts it in his book. So I assume that he's telling the truth. But anyway, here's a man who was a former police officer, former Cook County Sheriff. He was a made man in the Chicago Mafia. He was an FBI informant, and he was working for the CIA. Richard Kane was actually one of the instructors in this secret CIA camp in Florida. And this Cuban that I named Ramon to protect his identity told me that Kane was the instructor. Now, several years later, and I didn't know this until 2004, someone, a friend of mine, knew that I was writing a book on the Kennedy assassination. And they said, you should meet so-and-so. So I was introduced to so-and-so. And they said, I know a little bit about assassination. And then I did my usual FBI routine. How many conspiracy books have you read? Have you read this book, that book, that book, that book? No, I don't know. Haven't read any books. And I said, well, okay, what is it you want to tell me? Well, so-and-so told me that Richard Kane was on the grassy knoll, and I just about fell over because I didn't know. I knew about Richard Kane and all the things that he had done, but I didn't know until 2004 that Richard Kane was actually on the grassy knoll.
It's interesting that so many people were associated with the assassination with themselves killed. In other words, when you get involved in this type of world, why, your life and your years are very limited. Certainly Richard Kane was killed, Rossellini, who was there on the grassy knoll, was killed, Giancana, who coordinated this whole thing, was killed, and of course, the family, Sam Giancana's family, believes the CIA had him killed. In fact, his brother wrote a book called Double Cross, Chuck Giancana's, I'm sure you're probably acquainted with that book, where Chuck Giancana says, you know, the mafia, Sam Giancana, killed President Kennedy, was behind it. They didn't do it themselves, but they coordinated it. And then, of course, why Sam Giancana thinks he's got friends in the CIA, and then he himself is assassinated.
Well, the people who believe the Warren Commission commission, and the ones who want to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin poo-poo all this stuff about the CIA and the mafia and Richard Kane and Sam Giancana and Johnny Roselli. They all say, well, you know, that these guys were killed. It's a normal routine in the mafia. You know? But the thing is that when you have people who are trained at a secret CIA camp and they all show up around the grassy knoll when Kennedy is assassinated, that is not coincidence.
Well, you know, recently, of course, when just before Howard Hunt died, why, he had told his sons that he was on the grassy knoll that morning. And the sons wrote a book about that. And so, but Ramon had actually told you, he told you so a long time before that Howard Hunt was there, didn't he?
Yes. He told me that Hunt was the money man. He didn't know exactly what Hunt was doing, and it's difficult to know what different people are doing, but Ramon was in a position to have very good friends because, as it turned out, the man I call Ramon was actually in the Bay of Pigs invasion, and he managed to escape without being apprehended or killed. And when someone tells you a story about the Bay of Pigs before it happens, and then he's in it and he manages to escape, you've got to believe what he's saying when he's talking about the president, because he's not just making up stories. I know a lot of people would say, well, yeah, he's making up a story, but he had too many facts, and too many facts that he told me in 1962 actually came true and have been documented in different government CIA and FBI documents, although the CIA and the FBI have not released enough to tell the whole story. It's just a little bit around the edges, and I don't know that we will ever know the whole story, but I think the story that I was told is pretty much the story. Now, a lot of the conspiracy buffs want to include people like Vice President Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover. Well, Hoover was involved in the cover-up. I mean, there's no question about that. Hoover, I can't believe that someone like Hoover and Johnson would be involved in a conspiracy. They would probably clap their hands knowing that there was one, but you have to be realistic. These people are not going to sacrifice their positions to get involved. If they heard that there was a conspiracy, they might say, well, yeah, go ahead. I hope they win, you know. But they're not going to actually be involved themselves and have guilty knowledge. So I have to have serious thoughts about people, because they say, well, this person, this high official and that high official, and they talk about high officials in the CIA. I don't think that the top level CIA officials knew what people like T. Howard Hunt and some of the others were doing.
But, I mean, certainly somebody had to know, and certainly the CIA did cover for Howard Hunt for a long period of time. And
sure.
And so, basically, the CIA was covering for them as an organization. So you have to sort of wonder how much they did know. Could you tell our listeners who was Rossellini? Because he's a key figure. He was a key figure in the mafia there in Chicago, wasn't he? Very, very close to Sam Giancana.
Yes, he was, and Johnny Roselli was also a big operator in Hollywood. He was the one that got unions in there and was getting a kickback, but he started out as a tough man, as a little kid. Most of the mafia members start out killing people when they're teenagers, and that's how they earn their points in the mafia.
Well, there are so many things in your book that really I was surprised at. I didn't know that there were ties between Howard Hughes and the CIA. And in fact, one of the things that really bothered me, and I'm sure I have no question it's true, but because I got started some 48 years ago believing that the enemy was communism and the communists were going to, Communist Party working here in the United States was a menace. And of course, it was led by two people. One of them was Marcus Childs. The other was Gus Hall, the head of the Communist Party. And you point out, and of course, you were on the FBI detail for many, many years there in Chicago, that both Gus Hall and Marcus Child were informants for the FBI.
Yes. I can say that now because both of them are dead, and the FBI has admitted in a book that I forget who wrote it, but it was the title of it was Solo. And
well, that was the story of Marcus Childs, right?
Yes.
But the fact that, you know, that Gus Hall, I mean, I've got the book on Marcus Childs, but the fact that Gus Hall was actually an informant, why should we be surprised? I mean, the people who were all involved with the Elohim City, the Christian Identity City that was so intimately involved with the Oklahoma City bombing, the head of this whole this city, this subversive organization, was an FBI informant, Reverend Millar. So,
what I found very comical, but I wasn't surprised knowing the story of Childs. When I was in Chicago working the Communist Party and writing reports on members of the Communist Party in Chicago, you would think that an agent in Chicago would know that Gus Hall was an informant, but I didn't know until I was transferred to New York, and I believe it was 1968 or 69, an agent that I had worked with in Chicago was in New York, and he was walking through the office, and I said, hey, have you been transferred to New York? He said, no, I'm here to see Gus Hall. And I said, what? He said, I'm here to see Gus Hall. And, you know, then it hit me.
Gus
Hall was an informant.
Nothing as it appears to be. We'll be back in just a moment.
Yeah.
Well, Wesley, you go right ahead. And the fact that at that point you suddenly realized that Gus Hall was an informant for the FBI. In fact, there were so many of the people in the Communist Party who were actually FBI agents. Wasn't that true?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
This party were FBI informants, and Chris J. Edgar Hoover did not investigate the mafia. He put all of his emphasis on the Communist Party, and certainly Wesley was in charge of the communist investigation in Chicago for many years. He said the only thing that he ever found them doing, occasionally they might double park their car. That was the only thing dishonest they did, and yet they would break into their homes repeatedly without warrants, violating our Constitution, and the FBI was involved with all sorts of scurrilous activity. The book is very, very revealing. And, of course, they actually knowingly sent innocent people to jail. They had people assassinated. How could these things happen in America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, most of what you think is just not true. The book is entitled To Kill a President. I would like to carry this. We probably will. And it's written by Wesley Swearingen. And, of course, the other book, if you want to know about this mafia's point of view, from their point of view, the book Double Cross, written by Chuck Giancana, Sam Giancana's brother, about how the mafia killed an American president. Now, we do have two four-tape sets, an excellent four-tape set for you, actually, here, an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, where you'll hear an interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was on the in the Parkland Hospital when they brought President Kennedy in. And he was told, if you ever tell what you saw here today, you will never practice medicine. He was a senior resident, surgical resident, and he was told if he ever told the truth, he would never practice medicine. That's how they get people to be silent. And he didn't say anything for 25 years. He eventually wrote a book. And, of course, why the General American Medical Association defamed him and called him a fraud. And me, here's a chief of staff, a surgical staff at his hospital. He's viciously attacked by the Journal of the American Medical Association, the pillar of integrity. Why Dr. Crenshaw sued them, and they gave him almost $250,000. Why? Because they couldn't let the American people know that, of course, what Dr. Crenshaw said was true. We have, of course, 2-hour interview with Dr. Fletcher, and that's the first set. We have another set where a 2-hour interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress. Fascinating information. We have a great DVD. We have a book called To Kill a President. Pardon me, it's called Killzone. It's written by our good friend Quay Roberts. So you can get the 2 4-tape sets or 4-CD sets. You want to get the DVD put up by our friend Bob Fletcher, and then, of course, the book, Kill Zone, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you don't think that they have professional assassins in America, you need to get our 4-CD set, Deadly Assassins. That's where I actually interview two government assassins. And then we interviewed the man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General Patton. And then, of course, we have a 4-CD set on how they killed Bobby Kennedy. We have a 4-CD set on how they killed Martin Luther King. And it's people who attended the trial of Lloyd Jowers. Lloyd Jowers was part of a CIA program to kill Martin Luther King. And eventually there was a trial, a 4-week trial, not a word in the controlled media. And we carry a book on that subject written by William Pepper on the murder of Martin Luther King. We have a book on the USS Liberty. I should say we have a 4-tape set on USS Liberty. We have a video and a DVD. The DVD was done by the BBC, never to be shown in America. The video was put out by the survivors. Those men, for 25 years, they were all afraid to come forward. I mean, there were probably 180 survivors of the attack, and they were all told that if you ever tell the truth, you'll be killed. If you ever tell, these are Americans, and they lived in constant fear for all those years, and then one by one, they came forward to tell the truth about what really happened. When the USS Liberty was attacked in 1967, and the President of the United States, I said he wants them all dead. The USS Liberty, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our October 17th meeting. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mark Hornstein. That's Mark Hornstein. And Mark feels very deeply about what's going on in our country. He believes, and I believe he agrees with me, that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And he believes that what we need is a time, a day of repentance, a day of turning back to God. And with fasting and repentance, if there's any hope, America is going to be turned around. And Mark has been working on this on his own, trying to get people to join together in a common effort. Now, I certainly agree that we are involved in a spiritual battle. And we will not save America on our own. The only way I think America is going to be saved if God intervenes. My fear is that he's going to intervene and bring terrible judgment upon this country because we are the greatest purveyor of pornography in the world. We are doing everything we can to destroy the morality of nations throughout the world. And can you feel badly that the Muslim world feels that the portrayal of women in America is vulgar and sensual and appeals to all the base instincts, and we certainly don't agree with the way that women have to wear burqas, but certainly there should be a little modesty, and yet there is none here in America today as we present what's going on. And And certainly we are doing everything we can to destroy the morality of our children, telling them in the kindergarten that homosexuality is perfectly all right, and starting sex education when children are 5 and 6 years of age. Do you really think this is honors God? Well, Mark, I want you to pick up the story and tell us what you feel about what's going on and what you hope to accomplish.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, and good evening to you, sir. I appreciate very much the opportunity to announce this proposed day of national repentance in public for the sins of our nation. Individual repentance is very important, but as your listeners, most of them I would assume to be born-again Christian people, we as the true church in America and in the world, we're aware of what happens in our world in real time relative to the evil structure which has been implemented into our reality here. And there is a very pronounced feeling that I sense through listening to other GCN talk show hosts, folks that research every day to keep up with our current events as they're changing so quickly at times on a day-to-day basis. We're having these significant catastrophic events occur more and more often through time, especially since 9/11, whether it be weather, whether it be war, whether it be the implementation over the years of the necessary technology actually out into the field of our country and on our street corner cameras, the X-ray devices, which are now being used, that are very bad for people's health, as part of the so-called surveillance. And we're actually on the very edge of destruction here. So that if we go to the scripture, where I was inspired to basically propose this day of national repentance for our national sins in public, then it is the only recourse that is left to us in order to have any hope of a solution. But there's a reason for this day of repentance that far supersedes that, Dr. Stan.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Mark Horenstein. Mark, you go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, the reason that we really need to repent, the number one reason that we need to repent is because I could say, beginning with Roe v. Wade and the legalization of the murder of children in their mother's womb and partial birth abortions, which is even more gruesome and horrible and brutal for the child, it's just simply murder. That it may extend back in our time here to the Vietnam War, whereas more than 2 million innocent Vietnamese civilians were basically, I don't know how they died exactly, I imagine in multitudinous ways of war. But we also go to forward in time to sins which are an abomination to God, and that is the sin of abortion and the sin of homosexuality. Abortion has been legalized in our country now for about 36 years. Homosexuality is on the way to being fully condoned by the actual law of our country as far as the gay marriage issue and such like this. That is something that will persist and probably have success about any time that the ones at the top of the Luciferian pyramid actually decide they want to push that, if they should. But it's, for all practical purposes, it is legal in this country. Whereas I'm 61 years old, and I remember when abortion and homosexuality were both illegal by state and federal law. So that we have changed so much. We have devolved from our ideals that we've held that made us individual Americans in a country that was different than most other countries in that we had freedom, but we also had respect for one another, and we had respect for God's law. And the Ten Commandments have been posted in our courts and in our courthouses, in our halls of justice throughout this country. But now they're considering having the Ten Commandments taken off the wall. And, of course, this is symbolic. This is, along with the basically outlawing school prayer and having that opening prayer in school back in, I believe, the early 60s or sometime in the 60s, we have...
1962.
Yes, sir. We have lost God. God has left our country. And
hold that thought. Hold that thought, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Mark Hornstein, who's really calling for a day of repentance in America, pointing out the fact that we have seem to have lost our moral foundation, that we've legalized abortion and homosexuality, and they've taken God and prayer out of our schools, starting back in 1962. And basically, of course, America as a nation has, for all intents and purposes, repudiated God. Oh, we may have God inscribed on the back of the dollar bill. It says, you know, in God we trust. But what God are they talking about? Because, believe me, there are other gods there. And when you see this as above an occult emblem, the pyramid cap by the all-seeing eye, which is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions, that's where that emblem comes from, the emblem of the ancient mystery religions who worship Lucifer. Then we should ask, you know, did America really a godly nation? It was when I was growing up, but America has changed. It's changed dramatically, and you go right ahead, Mark.
And Dr. Stan, we have basically made no place for God in our country by what we have allowed as his true church, as those who are truly born again in the Holy Spirit and have had their sins forgiven by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, by God Almighty. He has forgiven us our sins, but we have not stood up against the evil which has flooded into our country in these ways we've just been discussing here in the last few minutes. And it's been a gradual process, and God has slowly withdrawn from this country as it became more abominable unto him relative to the activities, the sins, which began to be committed here under the color of law, such as abortion in particular. God, at this point in time, after more than 60 million babies have died due to the legalization, and that legalization being allowed by the fact of no opposition to speak of, at least nothing even close to adequate that would get a foothold in the matter from his true church in this country. We did not stand up to the evil, and thus the evil continued on. As we didn't stand up to the evil, God withdrew his hand of protection and guidance from this country. And that made it even exponentially easier and more convenient for evil to increase at an ever faster rate, manifesting in larger and larger spheres of our sociological strata in various ways.
So well, I certainly concur what you say. I believe, of course, that this country has repudiated God. Not, you know, people say, well, the church hasn't repudiated God. The church has refused to take a stand. Oh, yes, we pay. Oh, we pay, you know, certainly a little of we pretend that we're upset about abortion. But how many Americans are really out demonstrating, and how many Americans are willing to go out and demonstrate in front of the abortion mills? How many people are really trying to get our schools to stop teaching abortion, our government to stop funding abortion? Now, basically, George W. Bush, you know, George W. Bush, who professes to be a born-again Christian, yet when he controlled the presidency and when the Republicans controlled both the House and the Senate, and all they needed was simply a majority vote to actually simply do away with Roe versus Wade and put an appendum on there that said the Supreme Court cannot address this issue, why George Bush refused to do that. George Bush, of course, would make a great ado about defunding some international organization that was receiving $30 or $40 million from the United States because that organization was doing abortions, but you never heard when he took that $30 or $40 million and gave it to another international organization doing abortions. All you ever heard about was that why he took the money away from the one organization, and it's all political theater, ladies and gentlemen. George Bush and the Republicans did absolutely nothing. They pretend to be pro-life, but it's all political theater. And until people understand, there's a great deal of difference between illusion and reality. And the reality is the Republicans are just as much pro-choice as the Democrats. Oh, there may be a few individual differences, but as far as the people who control the top of both political bodies, they're both going in the same direction, and the average American doesn't understand. And God certainly is being mocked. He's being mocked. In fact, there's a fellow named David Cole, a K-A-O. He was in charge of the faith-based initiative in the White House. And he wrote a book after he left talking about how the people surrounding George Bush and George Bush himself would then invite the ministers to come to the White House for a dinner or for a meeting. And then after they left, they would laugh at how stupid they were and ridicule these Bible-believing ministers. And where was the outcry from our ministers when that book was published? Why, it was deafening in its silence. But you go right ahead, Mark.
Yes, and I remember the words of the Lord, Dr. Stan. He basically said that when evil comes into your land like a flood, to stand against the evil, because that's the only way that we're righteous. And the only action that we can take relative to evil as His true church and the true believers in this country is to actually boldly stand against the evil with righteous indignation. And that righteous indignation has been missing because I believe even the true church has become not lackadaisical, but overwhelmed.
I think the true church has been infiltrated very effectively. They infiltrated our seminars. They taught our ministers you don't want to be controversial. You certainly would never want to talk about the satanic movement working at the highest levels of our government. Because if you talk about secret societies, why, well, that could very well be the end of your career as a minister. In fact, we have a book written by four ministers who actually did speak out about the Masonic influence on our government, and of course every one of them lost their churches. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Mark Hornstein, and he's simply talking about the tragedy of what's happening in America. As America has turned against God, as a nation, and the church has been silent. Go right ahead, Mark.
So after these recent decades of actually losing God, and God being a perfect gentleman, He does not overstay His welcome one iota. And it has been, as I had mentioned, relative to abortion, now we have 60 million plus babies who have been slaughtered, innocent creatures who never had a chance to live the life that God intended them to live, and to fit into His whole plan of creation for now and eternity. But they will be in eternity, but they will not have a life on earth. They simply go back to God. But this has enraged God, Dr. Stan. This has increased the wrath of God to a pitch now that we can only imagine. When it comes to God's heart, it has broken God's heart. The sin, the destruction of His innocent creation, has broken God's heart. The sin that His true church, by virtue of allowing, not standing up, whereas He would have provided us the power if we had been relying on Him when the evil began to come in, and then, eventually came in as a flood for some time now. Now it's overwhelmed us. And the true church of God, as we speak tonight, Dr. Stan, that exists now. I don't know how many thousands of people that is. I don't know if it's even a million in this country. That being Christians who are born again, who are living their faith, who are standing up against the evil, to the best of their ability and speaking out against it. Those are the true bona fide Christians of today. And it is the same group that I appeal to when I proposed more than a month ago that the true church in America, those who are walking the walk and talking the talk also, but they are Christians of action. They are Christian activists, one might say. And they are actually ready to repent. I believe that because repentance is also required of nations, and it's also required that within the nation, whatever nation will repent for its national sins, that of course it goes without saying, almost obviously, that that's going to be those who believe in God and who believe that He is a God of justice and that He requires repentance from us for our sin as a true church in this country, to repent in public and with heartfelt sorrow and remorse and regret, say unto God that we are so sorry that we let Him down, that we are so sorry that we let more than 60 million innocent children down, that we are so sorry that we've allowed homosexuality to be taught in our schools, that we're so sorry that we no longer allow the prayer to Him to be said in our schools, that everything has been turned around backwards because obviously God has taken His hand of protection and guidance off of America, and Satan thus having no bulwark of God's power to hold him back any more than God does hold him back, but certainly it hasn't been sufficient to, as we witness, see a severe deterioration. Satan has had a real heyday over the last 30 years or so, and since 9/11, all stops have been pulled out, because when they were able to get away with 9/11, they did leave very obvious clues, but it was a test to themselves of their own true power over the masses.
Right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You know, it is unconstitutional to have a prayer in school, or to have a prayer before a football game. But did you know that the Supreme Court opens every session with prayer? And do you know that Congress and the Senate open every session with prayer? Now, why is it constitutional for the Supreme Court to open with prayer, for the Congress and House of Representatives and the Senate to open with prayer, but it's not all right for our children? Well, very simply, they want to destroy the faith of our children. And where is the outcry from the church and from our Christian leaders? I mean, what's going on is very, very logical. There's a conspiracy against God, and God's people are silent. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for of people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called immune support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Is God going to simply sit back? What could we do to change the course of our nation? Well, all right, our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And on the line is Ruby. And Ruby is one of those people who's out regularly at the abortion clinics. They're not interceding. They're not approaching people. They're simply standing in front of the abortion clinic praying. And certainly if people do approach them, why their leader talks to them rather than individuals. Go right ahead, Ruby. What was your comment?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, for that introduction. I just wanted to encourage, I don't know whether it's Pastor Dr. Arnstein or Mr. Arnstein, what it is, I just want to encourage you in what you're doing and let you know that you're not alone and that there may just be a few of us left in this country who are really true born-again Christians, but I absolutely believe everything you're saying is absolutely the truth, and that we do have to be willing to stand up. We have to be willing to take the blows for our Lord and Savior. And you aren't alone. We have 237 vigils across the United States with the 40 Days for Life movement, and it is a prayer and fasting movement. Every one of us are taking different days of the week to fast for the babies that are being murdered and to pray that the mothers will change their minds. And I just want to encourage you to just keep up what you're doing and to let you know you're not alone.
Well, thank you, Ruby. I appreciate that very much, and it's an honor to speak with you. And, you know, certainly goes without saying, I don't know if these words would even be strong enough to really thank you for what you're doing, but God bless you for what you're doing. I know you're not always successful, but you're trying. And you're standing up against the evil, and I know you're fully aware of that, that makes a big difference to God as far as your individual life goes.
And I think what we have to understand is that there is a spiritual battle going on. There is a supernatural realm where that battle is being fought. How can we be effective? Well, prayer is the one thing that we do have that we can utilize. And God does hear prayer. We don't always know how he's going to answer it, but God does hear it, and I believe that he honors the people who are faithful in their prayers. Anything else you want to say, Ruby?
No, I just want to thank you so much for the wonderful guests that you have on and for your strength, Dr. Stan, and continuing to stand up for this, to continuing to fight this fight. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Ruby. Good night.
Thank
okay,
you.
Fine.
Bye.
That was Ruby calling from Live Oak. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we certainly, if you have a question or comment for Mark, I certainly believe Mark is absolutely right. We do need to call people to repentance and how we go about doing that. And Mark, would you like to tell our listeners what you suggest?
Yes, this is basically the structure, Dr. Stan, on a scriptural level, then on a more organic level, so to speak, as far as how do we manifest these scriptures in our actual physical reality here on Earth. The idea of repenting for the sins of our nation, those sins of commission, which have been committed by the evildoers and have been committed by such as women who have gotten abortions unnecessarily and maybe even used it as a method of birth control. That's happened also. That you have the sins of commission, and the total sins of the country. You have that facet, and then you have the facet of the sins of omission. It's two types of sin. And the sins of omission have been committed by the true Church of God in this country. Those are sins. It is a sin not to stand up against evil, not to come against evil. That is a sin because, as God has said in so many ways in his word, in both testaments, that he has given us the power to be who he wants us to be. If we will rely upon him, we will have that power. We will do his will. If we pray to do his will in all ways that he wants us to do his will as a people and individually, as a nation, as a true church in that nation, and independently. But now it's the duty of the true church to repent for its lack of action. And it is the duty of the true church to repent for all of the sin, even the sin of the evildoers, which has been committed in America.
Okay, hold that thought. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, our guest is Mark Hornstein, and we're talking about his desire to call America to repentance. You go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, if it would be permissible, I'd like to briefly announce my website and also give just a brief history of the website relative to the current state of organizational readiness for the American Day of Repentance.
All right. Could you wait just about 2 minutes before you do that? Because I'd like to have all of our stations back on. Some of the stations
right.
will not hear what you're going to say until for just 2 minutes from
all
now.
All right, Dr. Stan.
Just express your thoughts on other issues, and then we'll get to that in just a moment here.
Yes, sir. Well, when we say we're sorry to God at this time, after all of the sin which has destroyed so many innocent creatures in this country, we are a bomb and a succor to the heart of God, and this is what God desires of his true church now. At this time, in this country, our sins have been exported and continue to be. Even abortion is being paid for by well, either Federal Reserve money in our name or tax dollars in our name. It's getting hard to separate which dollars are which, if at all. But it's being exported out of this country. This country is really responsible for much of the misery in the world when you look at the largest center as far as any nation in the world goes. It is the greatest sinful nation in God's eyes and in God's heart. And it all fits together scripturally, Dr. Stan. It fits together within the Holy Spirit within me. I am being prompted by God. I will come right out and say that boldly, because I know that it's true. Simply by, as I know the Holy Spirit, and have come to know the Holy Spirit in 38 years of being a born-again Christian. And I'm not going to come out and proclaim God's will unless it's in my spirit, which is the Holy Spirit.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Mark Hornstein, and we're going to ask Mark to put out his website and tell us a little bit about his call for repentance. Go right ahead.
And Dr. Stan, the website name is American, that has an N on the end, American Day of Repentance .net. And we have four very righteous gentlemen, some who are in broadcasting, I think three are and one is not, who are in the process of composing essentially essays, I guess you would describe them as, all about the need to repent at this time on a national level for our national sins, and to do it in public along the lines of Nineveh, where it's done in front of the evildoers. It's a witness to them of our faith and of God, our God. It's done in front of the demonic hosts. It's a witness to them of the power that we have from our God, that he has instilled us with to boldly go out and proclaim him in the streets of America, in the highways and the byways, in the concourses and the public gathering places, where people will gather in groups across this country, be gathered together by the individual repentance leaders, whom the website will also serve, as it has not gotten up to speed yet because we've had a hard time installing the, not the template itself, but the control panel to the template from the server company. We are in process. My webmaster, web designer, who does it for a living, is very, very good. He's had many decades of experience, and he's working on it just as quickly as he can. And the website, if it hasn't already started expanding with a new template and some essays already coming in, then it will be very soon. Please continue to monitor the website. All that's up there now is just a short, brief statement by me welcoming folks to the website, briefly explaining the fundamentals of the why and the wherefore that we must repent in order to satisfy God's will for his true church in America. Now, what are the fruits of repentance? The fruits of repentance for us, it is really for God. It is to ameliorate the heart and the mind of God. It is to be a comfort to God, as I've mentioned. But how will God manifest the fruits which come out of repentance? Always. After repentance, things get better one way or the other, or several ways. We just don't know. But we do know that we love our God, and we care about his welfare. And he wants us, as his true church, as his beloved people, to express our sorrow, our remorse, and our regret of the pain that we've allowed him to suffer in his heart and mind for our lack of action, which is the same as saying our lack of counting on him and staying in a close relationship with him, as to where we do have that righteous indignation. We do not sit down for evil, that it makes us get up and speak out against it, and we have the Lord on our side, because that's what his will is, that we do just that.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment for Mark. But, Mark, how do you intend to actually get the information out and, of course, to get people to join with you in this act of repentance?
Well, Dr. Stan, tonight you're playing a great part in that, and I hope to... I've been a guest over the last month on a few other shows that are on GCN. I know people have heard, some of the listeners have heard me at those times. I'm hoping to be, hopefully, on your show. Anytime you'd like to have me on, Dr. Stan, to give you a progress report, I'd be happy to, and to perhaps delineate in greater detail what, as I become inspired in the near future here in different ways about this. Just to basically update you on the whole panorama of this. It's a rather large undertaking, Dr. Stan. That's true, except at the same time, with the web available to us now, we have a category that's going to be placed on the web. That's going to, my phone number and my name is actually up on the website at this time. And any gentlemen, any ladies who stand tall for God, who are ready to be repentance leaders and to form their own individual groups all across this land on that one day, which is set for October 23rd now, but I say that that is a flexible date. That date is contingent upon the degree of progress that we make in the accumulation of, in the number of individuals who become interested, and coupled with the number of repentance leaders that we're able to accumulate. We want to build it up to a point where it will be what God wants it to be. It will be what God wants it to be if, finally, the true church of God in America, his true and beloved children, believe what I say, will read their Bible and understand that what I say is true, and I'm always ready to hear any argument against it. And I've heard people say it's too late for America to repent because the sins have been so great. Well, is it ever too late for an individual, of which America is made up of individuals here, is it ever too late for an individual to repent as long as he has breath, he has time, he has lifetime left? We still have time in this country, and as long as we have time, we have opportunity to do God's will. And it just so happens that at this time, there's nothing more important in the mind and the heart of God for his true church to do in this world, in particular at this time in America, than to repent unto him for the sins of commission and the sins of omission, which is all of the sins. It's all of the sins, and no one will repent unto God except for his true church, because no one knows God except for his true church. No one knows the heart and the mind of God except for those who carry the Holy Spirit within them, and they have that small lamp within them that is a part of God. And we are very much in touch with the way that God must feel. We all know God is heartbroken. Now it's time to say we're sorry for the part we played in that. It's his true church.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and I certainly believe that this country, it tragically has failed, and it's really at its promise. We were at one time the leading spiritual country in the world. We were sending out our ministries all over the world, committing the great, working to complete the great commission, but that has really changed a great deal. And really, of course, here in the United States, the churches of this country, instead of forming schools so that we could train our children up in the way that the Lord wants them brought up, it was easier just to let them go to public schools. After all, you know, it didn't cost anything. We were paying taxes for it. And we've allowed the educational program to destroy the faith of our children. We have certainly gone along with the wars because, well, we don't want to be out with the radicals demonstrating. And, of course, as Mark had said, why, of course, we had killed actually 1 million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese, and we don't know how many people they've killed over in Afghanistan and Iraq, but does anybody really care? Where is the outcry from our religious leaders? Where is the outcry from the people who should be bringing these things out? And, of course, it's deafening in its silence. Well, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Barbara calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Barbara. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Oh, essentially a comment. Hi, Mark. It's good to hear you.
Yes, thank you, Barbara.
My one big concern is that, you know, we hear so much about men going onto the Internet and looking at pornography. But I was listening to a program the other day on a Christian radio station, and it talked about the fact that the interest of women in pornography is rising rapidly. And one of the reasons being is that romance novels, which, you know, I don't read, but they're I guess, everywhere in the stores, are no longer romance, but they're pornographic. And so, I mean, this is leading women to delve deeper into this. And it's like, unfortunately, it's like so many other things, it is addictive. And somehow we've got to get to the point to get people to understand they shouldn't be reading these things, and they shouldn't be going, you know, any deeper into this, because it is destructive.
Well, it's absolutely addictive, Barbara. I know that much. I haven't experienced that, but I've certainly read up on it, and I've seen it occur, and people actually go to addiction clinics for sexual addiction, and pornography plays a very large part in inculcating sexual addiction in people these days. And of course, in the mind of Satan, this is a type of bondage and captivity which will hold a person away from God. So that it's a very powerful tool that Satan uses, and it happens to be something which God created as a very beautiful thing, just like the rest of his whole beautiful creation. But Satan has been allowed to actually aberrate it and to metamorphose it into an actual completely different thing with a whole different vibration and feeling and quality, just as Satan is no longer the original creature he was created as. He's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. He's a total counterfeit of his original self.
Well, this is, you know, I would like to see pornography removed from the Internet. I think it's extremely destructive. And we hear of government workers who are sitting there watching pornography 8 hours a day. I mean, how? I don't understand this whole concept. I mean, yes, I can.
We live in a fallen world, Barbara.
Oh, I know that. I know we do. But the whole concept is that these people, you know, are working, and they're supposed to be, you know, earning a living, and instead they're looking at pornography instead of doing their jobs. But the unfortunate part is this is such a destructive, absolutely destructive concept. I mean, more and more women. I mean, I shouldn't say I understand men being part of this, but when I hear women are becoming more and more addicted to pornography. We're understanding that this is getting worse all the time, and it's drawing everybody farther away from the Lord.
Well, I think, Barbara, America is the greatest purveyor and producer of pornography anywhere in the world. We are exporting it all over the world. At one time, why, of course, this never would have been allowed. It was during the Vietnam War when they actually centralized all power in Washington, D.C., and they said, you know, basically, we should not have federal laws against pornography, but there should not be state laws against pornography, and there was no place in our Constitution that said anything at all about limiting what the states did as far as pornography and these other issues. And people don't understand. There was a group of very evil people who took over our Supreme Court. The Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971 in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. And it was during those years they restricted the ability of our communities to restrict the production of pornography. This would never have been allowed in any state had it not been for the federal government took away from the local community the right to regulate pornography. And this is simply part of the fact that Masonry at the very highest level is Luciferian, and Lucifer wants to unleash all the vile, the things that they can do that degrade humanity and degrade women. I agree with you, Barbara. I share your concern.
Mark, do you have any thoughts on that?
On pornography in particular, as I mentioned, Barbara, it's one of the main tools of Satan. In other words, it's not the only main tool that is really manifested in our society. You know, I've spoken of abortion and homosexuality. These are also the counterfeit of what God made type of tool that Satan uses, which are his largest tools in order to social engineer humanity. And he does it with a vengeance, as he does his other evils with a vengeance, more so in America than he does in other countries. America has a very special place in that Illuminati agenda for the future reign of the Antichrist. We must be destroyed as a country, and we're rather similar to a sacrificial victim who is waiting to be untied and bound and kept captive and waiting to be finally actually physically murdered. We're going through a satanic sacrifice as a country at this time. This is the overall spiritual genre which they have adopted to apply to this great deterioration in this country that we have seen even since 9/11 on an exponential level as far as the deterioration of our economy, of our morals, of our society. And this includes pornography, which, of course, is as immoral as it gets, and I believe it's an abomination to God. I believe it's another abominable sin. And here, as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, we're exporting it out to the rest of the world. So, Barbara, it's a very large tool of Satan. You're very right to bring attention to it because it's one of the main ways, of two or three main ways, that he entraps individual members of our humanity, and they're being kept away from God. They're being kept away from his salvation by means of diversion into their own pleasures, which give them relief from the very problems and concerns and worries which Satan is responsible for instilling in them in the first place. So it's a vicious cycle of sin and its captivity. But it does have different facets to it, but you're certainly correct, Barbara. Pornography is a really big problem.
Anything else, Barbara?
No, thank you, Mark. God bless you, and thank you so much for taking
God
the stand
you
are.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, that's, of course, our guest then is Mark Hornstein. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What do you think happens to a nation that turns its back on God? Is God simply going to sit there and do nothing? Or is he going to certainly do as he has all throughout all history, and that is destroy that nation, either certainly by plague or by war or certainly by famine or by bringing their enemies against them? Is it possible that he's destroying the military capacity of this country? We do not have an industrial base to be able to protect ourselves. We can't even produce enough ammunition for our soldiers and police today. We've sent the production overseas. Could it be that God is planning on bringing his judgment on America? Remember those words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, you know, God who gave us life gave us liberty. But can the liberties of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Darkness, that's Brotherhood of Darkness. I'll be giving my talk this at a conference here. It's going to be all day on October 17th. My talk is The Dark Secret. And, of course, we will bring you up to date on what is really going on in the world. That's The Dark Secret, and we do hope that if you're out there across America, you want to come. We're having some great speakers on October 17th. They'll be coming from across America. Dr. Paul Williams will be here. Dr. David Ayle will be here. Sheriff Richard Mack will be here. If you can come, why, of course, you'll have to have reservations because we're serving lunch. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And hope you can bring your friends. We want to get them to understand the true spiritual nature of this battle, because we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But it is a spiritual battle. And we do have the tools now to reach people, to let them understand what this is about. And certainly we would suggest things like the DVDs we offer, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. There's three parts to that. Then, of course, we have the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version of that very excellent DVD. It goes into the spiritual aspect of what this battle is about. We have Pastor Billy Crone's excellent 10-DVD series, divided into two parts, part 1 and part 2, The Final Countdown, his excellent series on fearful creation, which is how you can counter the lie of evolution. It is a lie, and they know it's a lie. That's the tragedy of many of the scientists involved, know it's a lie, but they have such an intense hatred of God that they cannot be honest. And when you have science, which has prostituted itself for an ideology, why, of course, you can no longer trust scientists. And the fact that the other scientists won't speak out against them, the academic people have failed, totally failed in their obligation to truth, which is what science is really all about, the search for truth. And the scientists, most of them, have abandoned any effort to have truth. They have an agenda, and that is to destroy a belief in God, because there's an intense hatred of God, and they've gone over to the dark side. Now, many of them, of course, are just afraid for their jobs, but you must understand this is the reality. There is a conspiracy out there. There are secret societies. We, once again, are carrying the book of The Fire in the Minds of Men, and it goes into, it's written by the Librarian of Congress, James H. Billiton. It goes into the secret societies that created the world revolution, starting with the French Revolution. And the Masonry and all of the secret societies were founded in the occult. Those are his words, not mine. And then, of course, we're once again carrying the book. It's entitled Scarlet and the Beast, Volume 1. It's been selling for $175 on Amazon. We can offer it to you for less than a third of that. We think it's an excellent book.